been a while since we studied Psalm 121, but thank God we could finally sing that song written by Shepherd Kevin. All right, let's please open your Bibles to today's passage from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 37 through 50. And let's read responsively. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. For this, reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere,
he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they cannot see with their eyes, so understand in their hearts, nor turn on with an eye to the other.
Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him.
Yet he has the same time that even you know how to
for they loved human praise more than praise from God. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. The title of today's message is Jesus, the Light to a World in Darkness. And our key verse is verse 46. Can we read verse 46 together? Okay. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So today we kind of finish up another section of John's Gospel, and we'll take some time to transition into our summer ministry beginning next week. This passage today contains the last time that Jesus addressed the Jewish leaders before being arrested. So today Jesus summarizes, in essence, every important message he has been trying to convey to this point. So we might even say that he answers the five most fundamental questions about himself and us. So if you studied the Bible study, we had these questions, and the answers are very clear based on Jesus' word. This passage answers, who is Jesus? Because Jesus said, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but the one who has sent me. We learn Jesus is equal with God the Father. Belief in Jesus is the same as belief in God. Jesus answers, why did he come? Right? I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. Jesus answers, is there hope? Yes. I did not come to the world, but to save the world. Do our decisions matter? Yes. And how can I have eternal life? The answers to all these are found in this important passage today. Chapter 12 is really, in brief, a summary of Jesus making his final plea to those still in darkness. before he would no longer be with them. Part of that plea we heard from Steve's message last week in verse 35 when Jesus said, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you still have the light before darkness overtakes you." In this passage, the author John and Jesus himself lament over those who still do not believe. And we see John's comment on the situation in verse 37, which reads, "Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him." Even though many still did not believe, John sees God's hand of sovereignty at work. We also see Jesus, who holds out hope to the very end that his people might believe and no longer remain in darkness. So while this passage talks about unbelief, it is also a passage of hope. Hope for us to overcome the areas of unbelief in our lives that still remain through faith in Jesus' light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Jesus who came as a light to all living in darkness. Father, help us to identify and examine the areas which we remain in unbelief. Help us to repent and come into Jesus' light. May God help us today to listen to God's word through Jesus and find eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So as this passage really does contain a summary of the key points of Jesus' ministry up till now, we should really go back and review all of John's gospel until now to better understand this passage. Right? We don't have time for all that. But let me summarize. John's gospel begins with the true light coming into the world. And then there's a witness who comes testifying concerning that light so that through him all might believe. And then we see story after story and testimony after testimony and miraculous sign after miraculous sign and miracles through Jesus' ministry. And now we come to this point at the end of Jesus' public ministry. John says they still would not believe in him. These people, it seemed, were beyond stubborn. Evidence didn't seem to matter. Truth didn't seem to matter. They had closed their heart to Jesus because of their pride and fixed ideas. Such a response to Jesus is still going on today, as we know. Among all kinds of people around the world, many refuse to believe in the gospel of Jesus. Frankly, many hate Jesus without even any reason. And historically, many have thought of faith as something inherently opposed to reason. They have said that, well, if we believe in Jesus, we have to give up being rational. But actually, in light of verse 37, it's unbelief that is irrational. To John, the Jews' unbelief, I think, was hard to understand and accept. But he found the answer in Scripture. Look at verse 38. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The prophet Isaiah found the same kind of irrational, unbelieving response among the people of his day. What did Isaiah mean by our message? In light of the rest of Isaiah 53, it seems to refer to the message about God's suffering servant, the Messiah. God's message that the Messiah would be a suffering servant was not what the people wanted to hear. They wanted a leader who would be strong and powerful and glorious, not despised and rejected and focused on wounded people. So they refused to believe Isaiah's message. They wanted someone who would end up in victory, not defeat. But in Isaiah's message about the suffering servant, the arm of the Lord is revealed. The arm of the Lord is an expression that refers to God's power to save. Through Jesus' humility, suffering, and death, God would reveal his mighty arm, his power to save helpless sinners. It always reminds me when I hear this, the arm of the Lord, it reminds me of Shepherd Jim, who's always saying, oh, God's arm is never too short. How many times has he said that? The meaning of our message is revealed to those who believe it. But sadly, most people refuse to believe. Look at verses 39 and 40. For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. This is another prophecy of Isaiah, loosely quoted from Isaiah 6:10. Here it seems that the more the people were told God's message, the more they rejected it. God was, in a sense, frustrated with his people. He longed for them to repent and be healed, but their persistent unbelief made it impossible. In Isaiah 6:10, God actually told the prophet Isaiah to make their hearts calloused. But here in John 12:40, it is God himself who hardens their hearts. In the same way, the Jews' stubborn unbelief was under God's sovereign rule. God used even their stubborn unbelief to gain glory for himself. God would use their unbelief and rejection of Jesus to send his son to the cross and reveal the way of salvation for all people. So we learn some important lessons here in this part. First of all, we learn that God is sovereign over opening or closing people's hearts to his message. It's only by his grace and mercy that he opens anyone's heart at all, that we can believe. Paul also said this in Romans 9:18. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he has mercy and hardens whom he wants to harden. Secondly, God uses even people's rejection of Jesus for his own good purpose. Human beings' rejection of God's message never thwarts God's purpose. God's arm is never too short. Right, Shepherd Jim?
Amen.
Finally, we learn here that each time God's light is given to us, even a small amount, we need to accept it. If we don't, our hearts will become a little more hardened. Again, we are reminded of Jesus' words, walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. So look at verse 41. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. So this is a very important verse. This really is the key to understanding this prophecy. John clearly says that Isaiah was speaking about Jesus and his glory. As we've seen earlier, Jesus' glory is quite different from human glory. Jesus' glory wasn't human praise or adoration, but Jesus' glory was rejection and crucifixion. Jesus' glory was in his gentleness and in his humility. So instead of being ashamed or discouraged because of rejection and the cross, we too, like Isaiah, need to see Jesus' glory in the despised and rejected things. We need to ask ourselves, where do I see Jesus' glory? I often see it in our members who are willing to stay and be part of our biweekly prayer meeting. I see it in those who came early for many weeks to practice the special song with Shepherd Kevin. I see it in our children who participate in Kids Space. I see God's glory in Stephen, who's not here today, but he often comes late Saturday night to vacuum the floor, right? Even though sometimes he forgets to come in the other door and sets off the alarm. Or I even see it when Amy cleans the women's restroom and many others. Such things don't seem to be glorious at all. But in truth, these are the things among us that reveal God's glory. Look at verses 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. John also tells us that the Jews' rejection of Jesus wasn't unanimous. Even some of the leaders believed in Jesus. Jesus' words and miracles moved their hearts, and they came to accept Jesus as the Messiah. Their problem was that they didn't want to lose anything. They wanted to maintain their own security and honor and keep enjoying people's praises. They were believers, but they held fear in their heart. Fear of men. We might call them secret believers. But it is understandable that they remained hidden in some sense. Professing Jesus publicly meant being cast out of Jewish society, right? Their kids could no longer attend school. They would be cut off from all their friends and their family. The temple would be closed to them. It would be like a North Korean or an Iranian publicly confessing Jesus. It very well could mean the end of their life. In some sense, we are all secret believers, not fully willing to lay down our life as a kernel of wheat for Jesus. Is there any area of your life where we fear giving too much for Jesus? Is there some area that we still prefer to remain in the darkness? I think we all have some. Many Christians today aren't even willing to make it to church on time or spend 2 hours a week to study the Bible. These actually are all forms of publicly confessing Jesus, because our actions confess to the world what we value. What do your actions confess to others about your faith in Jesus? What did Jesus say to these people? Look at verse 44. It says, Jesus cried out. He cried out. He knew all the unbelief and darkness still in their heart. He knew their stubbornness to come into the light. He knew their love of praise of men more than fear of God. But Jesus did not give up on them. He tried again, one last time. He gave his whole heart to sharing God's message with such difficult people. With a broken heart, Jesus cried out for them to put their faith in God and believe. Jesus cried, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me." John's gospel repeats over and over again that the Father sent Jesus. Jesus didn't come on his own with his own ideas or ambition. His ministry wasn't for his own glory. Jesus didn't try to reveal himself. His purpose was to reveal God, his Father. And how did Jesus do that? How did he reveal God practically? Well, we can look back through John's gospel and find many ways that he did this. Jesus spoke only the words of God, John 3:34. Jesus found his greatest satisfaction in doing the will of God, John 4:34. Jesus always sought to please God. Jesus did the works that God sent him to do. Actually, in ministry, we have a lot to learn from Jesus here. His works undeniably and unmistakably revealed God. Through the works Jesus did, anyone could see that the Father was in Jesus and that Jesus was in the Father. Jesus' whole life on earth revealed God the Father in every way. When we look at Jesus, we can actually see God. John 1:18. In fact, later Jesus tells us that there is no other way to really see God, as Jesus proclaimed in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is really the recipe for a successful ministry. To orient our ministry around revealing God through all the things that we do. Jesus continues crying out in verse 46, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." This certainly could be considered one of the key verses of John's gospel. The light of Jesus has consistently been proclaimed throughout John's gospel. And there's a bunch of references if you want to look them up. I think we all know that our world is still a very dark place today. and it seems to be getting darker. Gun violence, mass shootings, racial violence, the war in Ukraine, the genocide of many Muslim believers in China. We lament over the unbelief of so many in this world. People can be so evil, hiding what they're really up to. People are living in spiritual ignorance and so much misunderstanding. But the light of Jesus overcomes the darkness. The light of Jesus can help anyone, no matter who or she they may be. Because of Jesus' light, every human being, no matter how dark they may be, has hope. Through Jesus' light, both Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman came out of their darkness. Through Jesus' light, the man born blind began to see, both physically and spiritually. So many people came to believe through Jesus the light. But sadly, even though Jesus came and shone his light, there were still many who chose to stay in darkness. Why? Why stay in darkness? Why do so many people choose to do that? Well, we can think of three reasons. Number one is because they love darkness. It means they love sin. Jesus' light exposes the darkness of sin. And people don't like that because they love sins so much. They don't want to have to stop sinning, even though it's ruining their lives. Another reason people choose to stay in darkness is because they're comfortable there. Joan, next slide. They've lived there all their lives. Everything's familiar and secure. Yeah, it's comfortable. It's uncomfortable to come into the light with everything exposed. And they're also unsure where the light will take them. So they choose to remain in the darkness. Still, many others choose to stay in darkness because they despair. They think there's no hope for them, so why even try? In the movie Titanic, I think most of you have probably seen it. There's a very moving scene at the end, right? Joan, you want to go to the next slide? Right, so when the ship has sunk, and there's thousands of bodies floating in the water, and it's so dark and cold, and there's a rescue boat with a dim light. And the rescue boat is looking around with the light for any survivors still alive. And so Rose, the star of the movie, like she's one of those survivors, and she can barely hear the boat and faintly sees its light. And she has to decide either to make herself known to the rescue boat or to remain in the freezing ocean water and just perish there. At this point, she's just lost everything she had in her life. She lost Jack, right? Her love of her life. She lost everything, all her possessions. She had no reason left to live, it seemed. But she decides to start blowing a whistle given to her by her friend Jack. And with the light on the boat, she's found and rescued and goes on to live a full, long life. In the same way, Jesus came into this dark world with his light on a search and rescue mission. Though we may have no more strength or hope, he is still searching for us. And with his light, he can find us and pull us out even in the blackest darkness. All we have to do is to respond, to reach out and take his loving hand. That's what faith is. But how can we have this faith to believe? Could someone read these final verses for us? How about Joe? As loud as you can. Verses 47 through 50. Thank you. Here, Jesus mainly talks about his words, right? We need to take hold of Jesus' words. Jesus' words are exactly what God the Father told him to say, and they are what give us faith. He doesn't judge us, no matter how much we've sinned or failed. He's still giving us his words. And he really wants to save us through his word. We need to hear his words, accept, and keep them. If we don't, Jesus says, in the end, these same words will condemn us. In conclusion, this passage is really about the heart of Jesus. Jesus cries out to those rejecting him with all his heart. He cries out to the stubborn believers who don't fully want to come into his light. He does not judge them. He cries out as a light in a world of darkness, that all who call out by faith might be saved and find eternal life. May God help us today to make even a small decision to receive the light of Jesus, which can deliver us from whatever area of darkness we still choose to stay. May God also help us to have a ministry that reveals the Father in every way. Most of all, we may learn this heart of Jesus, who pleaded so earnestly with those who were rejecting him and helping them to come into the light. Amen. Let's read our key verse one more time. Okay? I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Should we stay in darkness? No. And you got the point. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for Jesus' light that shines into the darkness of our soul, even the deepest, darkest part. Lord, help us to believe God's word of life through Jesus until all the darkness of this world is driven out and we can become a light for Jesus as Bible teachers, for others. Help us to orient our ministry so that God is revealed and glorified in all that we do. And Father, it is hard to love stubborn, difficult, and rebellious people. Lord, help us to learn the heart of Jesus. Cry out in prayer and in acts of love and kindness to a world in darkness, that Jesus' light may come in and the darkness may be driven out. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.